Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. With the election for president just 6 days away, we cannot fail to remember the problems and the concerns about the fairness of the voting process in the 2000 and 2004 presidential elections. In 2004, filmmaker Katie Cheveny followed 11 Americans from dawn until well past midnight and was able to put a face on the voting rights issues, revealing the disparity between wealthy and poor neighborhoods and the disenfranchisement of former felons. This trail became her documentary film, Election Day. In 1998, Katie Cheveny founded Arts Engine, a filmmaking group with the goal to explore social issues. Election Day is now the centerpiece of Arts Engine's 10-year anniversary collection, a collection of 10 feature-length documentaries and short films. Take a look at their website, www.artsengine.net. That's artsengine.net for further information. With fairness in the voting booth during the 2008 presidential election in mind, I spoke by phone with Katie Cheveny on October 23, 2008. Our conversation began when I asked her to discuss how she became involved in making social films and the drama they carry.
I started out after I graduated from college working in social services. I actually worked with Vietnamese refugees in an organization that helped resettle them and help refugees adjust to life in the United States, and this was in Chicago. And so I really wasn't initially thinking I would go into film. I was very interested in the workings, improving of the quality of life in American cities in particular. I thought maybe I would go into urban planning. So film came a little bit later to me after I'd been working in social services for a few years. I had always loved film. And so I think what happened for me is just that since I'd already been working involved in various social justice issues, it was a kind of natural fit, since I was also interested in film, to start working in documentary, in which there was an opportunity for me to merge my interest in film with my interest in documenting and thinking about and trying to see if there was a way we could change people's perceptions and awareness about what was going on in our country.
One of your current films, Election Day, is obviously a current topic for us as we're just a short time away from the 2008 presidential election. What is the story that you seek to tell based on your work in the 2004 presidential election?
What we set out to do with the documentary Election Day was talk about this historic election from a different perspective than we thought was currently being covered by the mainstream media at that time.
And what is that perspective?
I was really interested in what's going on for Americans who are going to the polls in the aftermath of the 2000 election, where there was so much controversy around the ballot count. I was interested in what were Americans thinking about how their votes would be counted, and was that affecting their feelings about going to the polls at this time? I felt a little tired of all the media coverage of the contest of the presidential race of George Bush versus John Kerry, and I knew there was just lots and lots and lots of ink and, you know, airwaves covered with all of that, about, you know, all the news about the candidates. And I really felt like the story of the fact that people had a different sense, most Americans were heading to the polls with a different sense of confidence or anxiety about what was happening with their votes after they actually cast it.
When you say a different sense, different from what?
Well, I think I was heading into the 2004 election and the idea of making this film with the idea that the 2000 election had been basically a wake-up call to mainstream America that when you cast your vote, it may not be counted properly, or it may not be counted in the way you thought it would be. And I wondered whether the result of that 2000 election would lead to a lack of confidence of voters at the polls, whether fewer people would come out, whether more would. Somebody should really take the temperature of the American voter at this historic time. What's going on? How are they feeling about it? What's going to happen to them this year? So those were all the motivations and questions in my head that drove me to want to make this film. You know, what we did, which was a different approach than the approach that I decided to take to do this, was to have 14 different camera crews in different parts of the United States, all following a particular individual or a particular location over the course of the one day, Election Day 2004. And then we edited all that footage together to make the final film, which is Election Day.
Can you tell us some of the cycles or some of the problems that you encountered among the camera crews in the different states?
One of the things that we discovered in filming is the incredible variety of experiences that Americans have going to the polls. This was true in 2004. It's going to be true this year. It was true in 2000. That in some places, like we film in a small town in Stockholm, Wisconsin, in some places, it's very easy to vote. In that particular state in Wisconsin, you can register and vote on the same day. There was virtually no lines in the small town in which we filmed. It was a really kind of bucolic model example of what it might be like to participate in democracy. And then in other locations, people, like in St. Louis, people are standing in line for upwards of 2 hours in the cold and the rain, waiting to cast their vote. And then once it's cast, they're not even so comfortable with the circumstances under which they did it because things were so disorganized at the actual polling place. It's really not the same experience for people across the country.
When you say the circumstances under which they voted, what were those circumstances that gave them pause?
There are certain things that happen at the polls that can undermine your confidence in the voting process as a whole. Occasionally, we saw people who would go to the polls, and they had been voting in this location for many elections, say, and this particular election, they show up, and their name is not on the book, and so they're told by the poll worker, you're not eligible to vote here, even though they've been voting there for several elections. So we saw things like that. People who had in St. Louis are people who had a voting card that they've been sent in the mail that said you can vote at this particular location. They show up at that polling place, and then they're not on the books there. So that causes those particular voters to say, what's going on here? Am I being disenfranchised? Why am I getting sent something in the mail that says I can vote, and then I show up, and there's a person who tells me I can't vote? What's wrong with this system? And so, you know, then often when there is that confusion, in the 2004 election, many people were voting provisionally or on affidavit ballots, depending on the state, and that often gave those voters a sense subsequently of, I don't know, is that vote really going to count? Why wasn't I on the books in the first place?
Based on what you saw in the 2004 election, do you have any concerns or anticipations about what will happen next week on November 4th of 2008?
Yes, you know, many people have asked me that as we've been touring with the film, and I was very hopeful that between the 2004 and the 2008 elections, we'd see some changes in how the polls were administered and in how, you know, ballots were counted nationwide. In order to do that, there would have had to be some really serious legislation, both on the national level and in many cases on the local level. And to a great extent, that has not occurred, to my disappointment and the disappointment of many others. I mean, I suspect we're going to see a lot of problems at the polls on November 4th, 2008. If nothing else, it's going to be some long lines because it's just been incredible voter registration, especially in swing states. There's enormous interest in casting a vote, and I'd be shocked if everything went smoothly. It would be wonderful if that were the case, but I don't really see how that could be the case when part of the problem is that states and localities don't have the resources to run their polls adequately.
Running the polls is one issue. Counting the votes and being sure that the vote is counted the way it was cast is another issue. Can you tell us about counting and being sure that the votes are counted accurately?
The counting of ballots is something that's done in a variety of different ways in different parts of the country. One of the problems we have with our voting system nationally is that we don't have a standardized way of counting ballots, as many people know. In fact, there's actually 4,600 different voting systems throughout the United States, different kinds of ballots, which includes different ways of counting the votes. Some of them have a backup system involving a paper system. Some of them don't. Many of them use multiple individuals to check against each other's work, which is helpful. So, for example, we have a scene in Election Day, the film, where in Shaker Heights, Ohio, several volunteer poll workers are getting together and counting the votes after the polls have closed, and they're having trouble having the number of votes add up to the number of ballots cast. And they have to count them again and again and again in order to get that number to be the same. So that's an example of, that's just a real problem of, you've got hundreds of pieces of paper and you're counting them, and you've got human individuals who are tired after working for 16 hours, and sometimes they don't do the math correctly. It can be that simple of a problem.
One of the characters who you followed in the movie, in your documentary, Election Day, was a Republican poll worker who had an appearance, to my eye, of trying to get in the way of people voting. Can you comment on that? Am I right in what I believe I saw?
There's a character who we feature prominently in the film named Jim Fuchs, who's a Republican poll watcher in the 44th Ward, a very liberal Democratic ward in Chicago. And his mission for the day is to make sure that Republicans have their votes cast. And as he puts it to his team that he's galvanizing in the morning, you know, to make sure that there's no funny business happening in this ward. So his approach to doing that is to really meddle in every polling place and make sure everybody's following everything by the book. Your perception of him is one take on it. And one of the things I think is interesting about him from a filmmaking standpoint is that different people read him very differently. Some people find him inspiring, that he's working so hard to go from polling place to polling place and make sure everybody's following the rules. Other people think he's a busybody. Some people think he's self-important. So I think he's complicated. A lot of people just see him as a comic figure. What I liked about him is that I thought it was unusual to find a Republican who was fighting against his perception of, he was kind of fighting for voter access, which you don't see every day, and that's something specific to Chicago. So since I've lived in Chicago, I found his characterization just particularly unusual and interesting, and I wanted to see what he was going to be spending his day doing.
Perhaps the observer's characterization comes obviously from their point of view or what they wish to see in a character. But my question, Katie, is how were you able to select him as a person to follow when you put the filming project together?
We selected him in a similar way that we selected all the characters of the film, which is we did a sort of documentary version of a casting call where we reached out to nonprofit organizations that were working in various issues around election reform and election protection. And they knew a lot more than us about what was going to be going on the ground on November 2nd, 2004. And so they would put us in touch with groups who were doing interesting work in various states. So, for example, we learned from some of our contacts in the nonprofit world about some interesting activities that were going to be happening at the Native American Reservation in South Dakota and Pine Ridge. We learned about how some laws were changing around the issue of felon disenfranchisement, which is an important issue to me that I wanted to focus on in the film. We also asked people for advice of interesting characters who they thought might show a perspective we weren't already seeing in the mainstream media. And it's through requests like that we heard about characters like Jim Fuchs in Chicago.
In this edition of Radio Curious, we're talking with Katie Chevenet, the director of a documentary film called Election Day that followed a series of voting precincts in the United States in the 2004 election. She also is involved in developing documentary films of a wide variety through a program that you can see on the Internet called artsengine.net. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Katie, what do you hope to bring about in the 2008 election, making the efforts that you gathered in the 2004 election available between now and Election Day?
Well, there's so much work that has to happen between now and Election Day. I can only hope for a very modest contribution to that with the film Election Day. We are doing a lot of work to show the film both on DVD and in screenings, and one hope I have is that the film will inspire people to take a really proactive role in the 2008 election, either certainly by at minimum voting themselves, but also to, if they can, volunteer in some capacity to help the polls work more smoothly. Volunteering as a poll worker is a wonderful way to participate in making sure that our democracy works as well as it can with the current system. I have a larger goal, which is not something that can be accomplished within the next 2 weeks, which is that I'm hoping to raise awareness about the need for a fuller enfranchisement of our electorate. I feel what I learned from the making of this film is that we don't really have a full enfranchisement of the electorate, that that's a promise that remains unfulfilled. I feel that it's within our capacity to do that. You know, we're the United States of America, and we have the resources and the capacity and the know-how to have greater access for every voter so their vote really could count and they could have confidence in casting their ballot in a way that not everybody does right now. And I feel like until regular Americans become really galvanized around that particular issue, the issue of full enfranchisement, we're not going to really see real change.
Well, Katie Chevenet, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and what motivated you or drew you into becoming the social activist that you are and producing films to achieve the goal, for example, that you just told us about.
A lot of different things. I mean, one of the things that's really great about working in documentary film, particularly at this time in our country, is that it's a real community of people who are using a really fantastic and beautiful medium, I think, you know, an artistic medium of film, in order to talk about issues and to tell stories that aren't necessarily being shown sufficiently, to my satisfaction anyway, within the mainstream media or within the Hollywood structure. So, for people like myself, and there's many of us documentary filmmakers who feel like we'd like to contribute to the public conversation about how life in this country could be improved, I feel that documentary film is a really fantastic tool to participate in that conversation, share stories that aren't what we typically see on the nightly news.
What were some of your early life experiences, perhaps in your childhood and your growing up years, drew you to this line of work?
I think I was probably greatly influenced by my parents, who are also social activists. My father worked at the Civil Liberties Union. Mother did a lot of work helping prisoners with their writing. She ran a program to encourage writing among prisoners. So as a result of that, and they were very politically involved as progressives, so it was always something that was just came very naturally to me within my family, and there was never any pressure from them to move forward with that sort of sensibility in a career. But I think after I graduated from college, I really felt like it was my responsibility to try to do something to make the world a better place in a broad sense, in whatever way I saw fit. And so since I was such a lover of film and I just thought making films was one of the most fun things in the world, it actually was very natural to talk about the things I cared about using this medium that I had fallen in love with.
So to put this into a historical perspective of the social events that while you were in college, what year did you graduate?
I graduated from college in 1990.
And where were you living? Where was college?
I went to Yale. I grew up before that in New York City in the 70s and 80s. So, I mean, I think there was some influence there. I was growing up in New York. You know, in the 70s, New York was a kind of bankrupt city with a lot of crime and a lot of unemployment, and it was a somewhat depressing place to be in for grown-ups. I think in some way I was aware of that. And then when I was a teenager, it became very gentrified in New York and expensive, and lots of middle-class people like my parents struggling to continue to live in the neighborhoods they had lived in once gentrification happened. And I think that did have a big influence on me. I also majored in East Asian studies and traveled to China and saw different economic systems by being in China in the late 80s. So I had a real sense that that's what drew my interest into sort of urban planning issues and systems in general. The voting system in the United States that I focus on Election Day is one example of my interest in systems, government systems, and how well or not well do they serve the people's needs. So I think a sense of like unfairness and trying to expose that has been a part of my work since the beginning.
Katie, are there other documentaries that are available?
There's many other documentaries that our company have made that are around these lines that are also all available now for the first time. It's something that I've made a point of doing over the last couple of years to sort of mark our 10-year anniversary, and I'm proud that they're now all available to the public. They weren't for a while, so I also would love to just make note of that.
You recently completed a documentary film about Chinese medicine being brought to the West. Can you tell us about that?
The first documentary I made was called Journey to the West, Chinese Medicine Today, and it was an opportunity to used some of the skills and interests I had when I was in college majoring in Chinese. For that film, I traveled to China and tried to take a look at what was the system of how Chinese medicine was practiced in China, and how had it changed, and how was it being transmitted to the West currently.
What was your role as director? I've seen some of that film, and the views and the interviews carry a thread, but the photography is quite amazing.
Yeah, I was the director of that film, and the cinematographer of that film is a good friend and colleague, Kirsten Johnson, who traveled with me to China, and she did a wonderful job filming that. And I think China's a really beautiful place and often not shown in its beauty, so that was certainly something that we were trying to convey visually with that film.
You're involved in called Media That Matters. Tell us about Media That Matters and how you determine what media matters.
One of the things I do in my work as a documentary filmmaker is I'm the executive director of a nonprofit, which you mentioned earlier, Arts Engine. And one of the major projects of Arts Engine is we supervise and curate the Media That Matters Film Festival. And what we do with that, we're currently actually having a call for entries for our 9th annual festival, which will start in June of 09, launch in June of 09. And with that festival, what we're looking at is, what we're looking for is short films that can be documentaries, animation, fiction, whatever, that in which the filmmaker is telling a story about something they really care about that matters to them. So we're very broad about the idea of what we mean by media mattering. In this case, we feel like it has to be the vision of the filmmaker and that they express what matters to them in such a convincing and effective and creative way that we, the viewers, are drawn into it and say, "Ah, I get what you mean. That does matter."
Can you give us some examples?
Sure. So, for example, in this year's Media That Matters Film Festival, the 8th annual, which is now available on DVD, there's the film that won the jury prize. We have a jury that selects the films. Their favorite film was a film called Hamoudi, which is a story about a young boy in Lebanon who has been injured by cluster bombs and how he sort of interpreted his world. And he's got just incredible vitality and humor about his life and his friendships and his struggle with his disability. And it's a really moving film. In some ways, it's an uplifting film. It's also a call to action for all of us to end the problem of having cluster bombs existing, which is something that movement is actually gaining a lot of momentum in recent months. So that's a classic example of a film that's very well executed, but it talks about something that matters deeply to people all over the world, which is the problem of cluster bombs.
His disability resulted from his legs being blown off.
Right.
It's a very moving film. Katie, are there other documentaries that are available?
There's many other documentaries that our company have made that are around these lines that are also all available now for the first time. It's something that I've made a point of doing over the last couple of years to sort of mark our 10-year anniversary. And I'm proud that they're now all available to the public. They weren't for a while, so I also would love to just make note of that.
Well, Katie Chevenet, I want to thank you for being with us on Radio Curious. And before we close, I'd like to ask you to tell us about an important event or idea or concern that you've learned about recently.
In light of the fact that the election is upon us imminently, I think I'd like to underscore the importance of the idea that it's not enough that we just all go out and vote and support for candidates we care about, but that beyond that, we also need to really fight more broadly, and we need to do this between election cycles to change the voting system as we have it so that really everybody's vote counts equally and that there's true fairness in the election system. And that's something that's going to require a lot of smart thinking and a lot of political will. And I think that really has to come from the ground up. So that's an idea that I feel like I keep hoping that's going to gain more currency and traction with the American people. So I want to underscore that on your show.
Do you have any suggestions as to how to foment that fight? Issues to address?
I think that's a good question. I think there's different ways to do it. I mean, certainly one thing people can do is inform themselves about how voting systems work in their own state. And they could write letters to their congresspeople, particularly I would say Congress, not just the Senate, talking about problems that they see within their own state or compared with other states. And they're concerned that there should be real movement within Washington to try to have some federalism around this. So I don't think that congressmen are getting a lot of letters from people saying that they really care about this. So that's partly why politicians are not paying close attention to it.
And Katie Chevenet, can you tell us about an interesting book that you've read lately or an interesting film that you've seen lately?
You know, I saw a documentary a few months ago that really blew my mind. I want to try to talk about as much as I can. It was made by a colleague of mine, a young filmmaker named Sasha Palladino, and it's called Throw Down Your Heart, which I think is a wonderful title. And it's about music in Africa. He actually follows Bela Fleck, who's this virtuoso banjo player here in the United States, and Bela goes to Africa to search for the African roots to the banjo. And it's a beautiful musical documentary. It just opened my eyes to a range of musical traditions in West and East Africa that I wasn't familiar with. And it's filmed in a beautiful way, and it just, you know, on an incredible journey. I think a great music documentary can really, you know, transform minds and hearts, and it's one of those. It's a film that I think will get released sometime in future months, but it's something that I see documentaries all the time, and this one really stood out to me.
Katie Chevenet, thank you very much for being with us on Radio Curious.
Thank you.
Katie Chevenet is the director of Election Day, a documentary film that was filmed on Election Day 2004 and put a face on voting rights issues, revealing the disparity between wealthy and poor neighborhoods and the rights of former felons. The movie that Katie Chevenet recommends is Throw Down Your Heart, created by Sasha Palladino. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org. There are over 750 archives on our website, radiocurious.org, and I'm honored to tell you that Radio Curious is now part of the collection at the Library of Congress. We appreciate your cards, ideas, and letters, and do enjoy hearing from you. The email is curious@radiocurious.org. The postal address is 700 West Smith Street, Ukiah, California, 95482. The phone is 707-621-5075. Ignacio Ayala is the assistant producer. I'm host and producer, Barry Vogel. Thank you for listening.